Welcome to Infinite Scale, the ultimate guide to growth for managed service providers. In this series, MSP entrepreneur James Vickery and author of Infinite Scale shares what he has learned about taking control of your business so you can break free from the tools, win more customers, and be more profitable. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 6 of Infinite Scale, the podcast about growth for MSPs. I'm Patrick Doherty and I'm here with James Vickery. How are you, James?
I'm doing awesome, Patrick. How are you?
I'm well. So let's dive right in. Last week we talked a lot about scale and how to get that into your business and why it's important. But I think going on from scale, the next concept really we want to talk about is getting momentum and rhythm in your business. And that I think, as you'll read in the book, is sort of an important component to success. So James, perhaps we can kick off by just talking about what does it mean to have rhythm and momentum in your business?
Yeah. Well, I think that we need to break a business down into its elements. And ultimately, a business is a system. A business is a series of systems, in fact, that are put in place so that the end customer receives a consistent experience, whether that's during business hours, day and night, whatever it is that your business is out there selling. And in the story, we talk a lot about how challenging that is to get that rhythm and how a lot of MSPs really depend on the heroics of their staff or depend on the heroics of themselves in order to get the job done. And it leads to a series of breaks in the system or inconsistencies in the system. In my own example, when I didn't have this concept of scale and rhythm in place, I had a lot of part-time staff. You know, I had like the bookkeeper came in on Mondays and she was a wonderful bookkeeper, don't get me wrong. And she did a great job, but she was only in Mondays. So if something to do with accounting popped up on a Wednesday, either I had to kind of get my head around that problem and dive into the system and fix that, or we'd have to say to people, oh, sorry, you know, Irene's not in till Monday. We'll deal with that on Monday. So you've lost rhythm, you've lost momentum when things like that happen. And I had the same with some of my technical staffing. You know, I had the level 2 guy that was studying and he could only come in, you know, he could do a little bit of work at night. He could only come in on Wednesdays for the day, which of course, if he was sick on that Wednesday, that meant it would be 2 weeks until I would see that individual again. And so again, the business just didn't get that kind of momentum and rhythm happening. And so that was a really challenging time and something we see out there like all the time in the MSP space.
Yeah, James, it would seem to me then that there's really a couple of key parts to getting rhythm and momentum in your business. One is you've got to have repeatable systems and processes in place so that you can deliver predictably. But then, of course, the other thing is, in your example, having that bookkeeper in there 5 days a week, which really means resourcing and spending a lot of money. Is that really the only way to do it?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, we talked about this in the last episode. I think this all comes down to capacity, right? So, yeah, we need a system. We need a defined system. How to send an invoice, how to answer the telephone, you know, how to conduct a level 1 incident, how to conduct an on-site visit. All of these things are great. You can sit down, you can define them. In fact, I can remember a few years back, where processes were starting to get a little bit out of control for me, I used to spend a day a week and document out like every element of a particular division of the business. So like at one stage, it was the accounting side. So I spent a day a week just documenting that out. And then in the book, I talk about, you know, ultimately the problem, that was part of the problem. The other part of the problem is I wasn't willing to invest, you know, the 5 days a week for Irene to come in and do the books. It just didn't add up for me. My business was small and it didn't add up. Ultimately, what ended up happening is I ended up outsourcing that function. And the bookkeeping company that I ended up outsourcing to were way better at this stuff than like I was ever going to be, right? They had systems and methodologies and they've been doing it for 20 years and they do it around the clock. If I send them a message at 10 o'clock at night, 10 minutes later, I get an email back saying, hey, we've executed that for you, right? So I had to go through this process in my business of determining where do I need in-house skills, like really strong, solid in-house skills to execute this function? And where can I outsource to a partner that can deliver this round the clock without, you know, too much interaction or prompting from me?
So do you have a view for an MSP what can be outsourced and what can't be outsourced?
Yeah, I've got an opinion on that. And naturally, people think, well, you can outsource everything to Benchmark 365, but there are so many factors to a business. I mean, should you build up internal marketing capability? I would say that you need to build up a little bit of internal marketing capability because it's your voice and it's really challenging to hire someone external and say, hey, just run with our marketing, because they might not get your voice. You might just end up with something really vanilla and plain. And I think a few people listening might know my opinions on that. That cookie cutter marketing approach to MSPs, in my view, doesn't work. You know, it just kind of looks the same. So you might have some specialization of marketing internally. That might be you as a CEO, because it's your vision for the company, right? But then all of the other elements, you know, the posting stuff on social media, recording podcasts, you know, sending out case studies, you know, sending out emails, that might not be you, right? Because it's repeatable work that can be outsourced. So that's one example. I think that there are certain technical skills that you might be working on. There might be a product that you're developing internally within your company. You might be working on something that's the next big thing that's going to be either strategically challenging to outsource, because you might not want to give away the keys to the kingdom on that, or it might be it might just not make a lot of sense because you're still testing, right? So it's not a repeatable function. But I think when it comes to things like help desk, you know, there are organizations such as Benchmark where this is what we do. This is what we do day in, day out. There are layers and layers and layers of redundancy. There are systems and processes. There are methodologies that have been built up over 15, 16 years that can instantly apply to an MSP. And I think that that's an outsourceable function. I really do. So what everyone needs to do is sit down and say, okay, how long will it take me to build this capability? What will it cost to build the capability? And is there a shortcut? Is there a faster way to do this? And so I think that applies to every single element of a business.
So is there sort of a magic formula, I guess, for deciding that? I mean, I think, you know, obviously expertise is important, and the cost of someone. But then I think, you know, word you just used, redundancy, right? Like how much, even if you have someone, if you hire a full-time resource, how well are they utilized?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of the challenge. I mean, even in the accounting side of the business, you know, we had Irene, she was great, but there was a redundancy problem, because if she wasn't in for that Monday, now we're 2 weeks without accounts, right? Not her fault. She was sick, just happened to land on that day where she was supposed to be attending our office, right? So even if we got Irene to work 5 days a week, we still don't have redundancy. And I think a lot of MSPs looking at their business now might say, okay, well, what does happen when someone's out? You know, if the dispatcher is out today, then what happens to the phones? You know, that suddenly technicians who are not tooled to do that are answering the telephone. What happens, as we talked about that horrendous story of mine in the early days prior to Benchmark, that the level three being out for the day just basically cost us a customer. And so looking at these things and saying, can I build it? Can I build the system? Can I install the resource? But is that enough? Or should I look at outsourcing, because no matter what, they need to deliver on time every day around the clock?
So James, in your own experience, as you were, you know, building up your business in years gone by, and you were faced with these questions of, do I keep doing it myself or do I look for another way to do it? What kind of options did you explore?
Yeah, so we cover that in the book as well. There's so many options, right? You know, outsourcing, freelancing, all of that kind of stuff. It's getting easier, from as in it's more accessible than it ever was before. Even prior to me starting Benchmark, it was challenging, but there are more options out there now. So why don't we just go through some of the stuff that I tried and failed at, and then we can talk about the stuff that works. One really common one is freelance. You know, so jumping on Upwork, trying to find that individual that is going to be able to nail down that problem for you. And we tried that on the technical side. And we learned after a series of errors that the challenge with freelancing is the loyalty factor. So a freelancer, I'm not saying that you can't find them, but it's like a needle in a haystack. Because typically someone that's freelancing, they have other responsibilities. Maybe they've left a job They've decided to work from home to look after the children, and they're going to put a couple of hours a day into your business. It's just way too many variables. So you find this person that they might be super intelligent, they might have the skills, but you don't get the cadence. And that's pretty much what this episode's about, right? You don't get the rhythm because you're having to check, hey, is so-and-so actually in their seat at their computer today and able to execute for me, or is there something that's happened? It gets infinitely more complex with offshore. So there's freelancing in the United States, freelancing in Australia, freelancing in the UK, and there may be a certain level of stability around that. You start getting into offshore and now you're in a country where you don't really necessarily understand the logistics and what they're going through. So maybe the power goes out because that particular region has determined that we can't do power today, right? And that has happened. Or maybe there are some other complexities that, that can occur. Won't get into natural disasters, but have experienced that as well. And so that's a really big challenge with freelancing is you save some cost. Great. But does it really give you the rhythm and momentum in your business, or is it just a band-aid? And for us, we found that to be a band-aid. Another option that we looked at was outsourcing a specific function, like someone checks our backups at night. Right? And heaps of companies out there that do it. Maybe some of the listeners have already attempted this. For us, it didn't work in our MSP. And the reason it didn't work is, and I understand this now being involved with MSPs at a broader level with Benchmark 365, is that you're only outsourcing such a tiny fragment of your business that they don't form an understanding of your entire business, your goals, and what it is that you're trying to achieve. So what ends up happening is that there's no kind of gelling that's occurring between you and your team and this team that checks the backups, right? They get like one ticket a day. And so they're really not invested in the process of working with you. So for us, we tried that a couple of times. It didn't work. Then you can get a little bit more mature. There are companies that are based in India, the Philippines, other parts of Southeast Asia, other parts of South America, where their job is to recruit and hire people for you. They're called business process outsourcing companies. And loads of people use them. But what you got to understand about that is you're not necessarily solving a distinct problem. So you're not necessarily bringing in expertise into your business. You're starting a team in another country, right? We did that, and 6 years later, flying back and forth to a foreign country, trying to understand culture, trying to recruit people, not really getting that culture built up in the way that we wanted it to, is super challenging because the business process outsourcing, the BPO, they don't specialize in MSP. That's not their game. Their game is recruitment, and they're trying to line up what it is that you do with hiring somebody, but you got to fill in all the blanks. And that's a big job. So for us, that wasn't very successful.
Right. So that didn't sound like a lot of fun going through that. So where did you finally end up? What was the outcome, and which direction did you eventually head?
Yeah. Fun. It wasn't fun. And it was also represented kind of like a an unknown. Just testing different things and them not working out. And as we said, you really need to develop some sort of rhythm and cadence. So for me, it just wasn't good enough. The outsourcing providers that were out there were not good enough, not because they were bad people, not because they were not good companies in their own right, but for us, our needs are very complex, and I think most MSPs can relate to that. It's really hard to convey to a third party what an MSP does. Like, it is really hard. There are so many nuances and intricacies to it. My decision was, as we talked about through the book and the podcast, is I decided to get really serious and build a team up in the Philippines. And I built that business from the ground up and went through a whole bunch of turmoil, right? A lot of trips to the Philippines, a lot of learning about a different culture, a lot of hiring, a lot of firing, and just really just getting this stable. And that took several years. Ultimately, what we decided then is, can we offer a white label service to managed service providers because we actually get it? We actually know what needs to happen when the phone rings.
So, James, was it worth it?
Absolutely it was worth it. I mean, let's go back to the problem that is facing MSPs, right? Margins are tighter than ever before. Customers are scrutinizing agreements more than ever. They expect service delivered effectively around the clock. They expect consistency. They expect that momentum when they're dealing with you as their partner, as their IT partner. And before we did this, we didn't have that. We had these redundancy issues. We had, you know, the capacity issues in our business. So it was 100% worth it. But the time investment, like to build that from the ground up, was years, right? Like it was years and years of work, and it distracted me from, you know, really honing in on sales or really honing in on product, because I was just honing in on people. I was just trying to become a better leader. I was trying to build up a team in another country and learn all of the logistics, right, of that was enormous. So it ultimately was worth it because we were a more profitable business. We were more confident because we had a bigger team, could go to a sales meeting with a larger business, a mid-market business, a larger corporation, and say, we can deliver this, right? So 100% it was worth it. Now, how did we go from kind of that to benchmark? Is that we started to reflect on our experiences in outsourcing. So I'm not talking about what we did. What we did was offshoring. So the correct terminology there is offshoring. We went overseas and we employed people and we grew a company from the ground up overseas. Outsourcing is different because you expect the outsourcing provider to just get it, and you expect the outsourcing provider to deliver a finished product to you, right? That's the difference. And I think sometimes those terms get used interchangeably, and that's not the case. You want to go overseas and build up a team from scratch, that's offshoring, and that's a big deal. Outsourcing through there's many outsourcing providers out there. Obviously, what we do at Benchmark is we call that white labeling, because we're acting as an MSP. We're acting as the extension of the MSP, as a collaborator with the MSP, and we already understand all fundamentals. We understand the tools that are used. We understand the nuances with customers, which there are many, many, many nuances, which I think everyone listening can relate to, but we understand how to follow a methodology to execute a final product. And so what we try to accomplish with Benchmark, I think we have accomplished, is that those MSPs are tapping into the benefits. Yeah, they're able to just kind of like turn the key and get the profitability benefits of working with Benchmark without having to kind of get on planes and tear their hair out for the next 5 or 6 years to get this really working effectively.
So just give us some quick takeaways.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest takeaway would be, what are you building? You know, what is it that your company's building, and what do you need to specialize in order to win over customers in your marketplace? For me, it was, I'm not building a bookkeeping agency, so I'll outsource bookkeeping. You know, there are people out there that are far better at that than I'm ever going to be, and I don't need to be. I don't want to be a marketing agency. So there are people out there that can execute marketing for me without me having to invest in a whole bunch of people to do that. Once you free up your time from these activities, you have more time to focus on what's important. So the first thing I'd be doing is looking at what are some of the things that other companies specialize in that you can leverage. The second thing is, I think, looking at your current structure in terms of your people and where they are best tooled in your business. Too often I talk with MSPs, and I know because I've been there and I experience it, but someone is supposed to be a third level engineer. They're supposed to be delivering projects. They're supposed to be out pressing the flesh with customers at an executive level, but instead they're getting dragged into password resets. You know, they're answering the telephone. They're stuck on help desk today because someone's away. So having a look at, well, what is it that I've positioned this person to do in the company, and are they actually executing those tasks, or do we need to free up their time? Do we need to give them more capacity to be the best person that they can be? And I think the third takeaway is having a look around at what sort of outsourcing options there are, particularly on the technical front, because there are options out there. And we talk a lot about Benchmark, obviously, because we're, you know, that's who we are. But I think that there are different specializations. There are different areas that you might want to hone in on and target. For Benchmark, we provide a white label help desk service. It's 24 hours a day. We're able to support our partners very comfortably doing that kind of work because it's where our expertise are. For you, you need to have a look at the options that are out there for you and try to determine which partners are right for your business.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, James. That was another great informative episode. So next episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about outsourcing and really how to do it successfully from a customer success point of view. And with that, we'll say bye for now.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.